Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And we're live, a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report underway. Complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. We do this each weekday at 11 a.m. You can often catch the replay at 3 p.m. unless it's like today, a day we have IU baseball on the radio at 2 o'clock as the regional begins. Just across the river at Jim Patterson Stadium, it looks like. I know there was maybe a small chance for some afternoon rain or light storms, but it looks like it's shaping up to be a beautiful day. I am envious. I wish I could spend my weekend on one hand at the regional following this IU baseball team, hoping and cheering for a IU-Louisville matchup, which could be tremendous on Saturday if it happens. But instead, we'll be at high school baseball, which there's A-OK. I am A-OK with that. Looking forward to seeing the Dragons and the Devils, Silver Creek and Jeffersonville. We'll see if either or maybe both of those teams can put together some good performances and advance on to championship games tomorrow night, Saturday night, and maybe from there to the semi-state. We have had some teams, local teams that we have covered, make their way to Victory Field, even beyond the regional, beyond the semi-state. Over the last number of years, Silver Creek did it last year. Providence did it before that. Who will be next? Maybe one of these two teams. Maybe it's Silver Creek again. But fun stuff to follow. And I guess the key thing for you to remember as you head into a weekend, as we head into the month of June, I'm sure everybody is busy getting ready for summer. School is out. You may not be able to go or take the family to the regional at U of L. You might be out of town this weekend. You may not be able to go to Evansville to support your favorite team, Silver Creek or Jeff. You may just be a fan of high school sports in the area. No matter what, keep us locked in because all day Saturday, it has the potential for basically a baseball marathon. We're going to come on from Evansville about 11:45 or so from the Silver Creek game at the University of Evansville. Silver Creek will take on South Dearborn in the 3A regional at noon, and Lee Kelly will have play-by-play of that. I'll be on at 1 o'clock from Ballsy Field, the site of the 4A regional. Jeffersonville will take on a really solid 5D1 player Columbus East team at 1 o'clock. So depending on how Silver Creek's doing, if it's close, we'll stay with Lee for play-by-play, and I'll provide you some early updates from the Jeff game. And then when Silver Creek concludes, we'll jump into full Jeff and Silver Creek play-by-play, and we'll throw it back and forth as those games overlap if we need to keep you posted on all the action from Evansville. But we look forward to being down there this weekend. And after high school in the afternoon, the semifinal round, regardless who wins and loses, it should shape up that we can go right from our high school coverage to IU against Louisville if IU beats Illinois State today. And if Louisville beats Illinois-Chicago later tonight, that would set up a 4 o'clock matchup that we should be right on the money almost for to get you to that game for IU regional baseball coverage. Then we'll come back on Saturday night after the IU-Louisville game. Whoever's still alive, if it's both, we'll be at both. If it's just Jeff, will be there. If it's just Silver Creek, will be there. So there's the potential, at least, for baseball on the Big X, local baseball, from about 11:45 until 9:30, 10 o'clock or so on Saturday night. We want to thank some special people. We've got a lot of great sponsors that are always with us on the Big X, and obviously looking for more to keep and expand our coverage of things local here in the area. But we do want to thank a couple people especially stepping up this weekend as we add some additional programming. With that comes additional travel, additional cost, additional workers, all that sort of thing. But we've got a number of people that have stepped up, Premier Homes of Southern Indiana. You'll be hearing some commercials about them and some reads about them over the next week or so on some of our programming. Also, New Washington State Bank, Mitch Craig, Heating and Cooling, another sponsor. And get this, Chick-fil-A Jeffersonville. They're not open yet. They're going to be open up on 62 where all the development is taking place. But they'll be opening up, hopefully, in early 2020 is the plan. So another Chick-fil-A coming to the area. And they knew about our coverage and wanted to jump on board and go ahead and get the word out that they support the community. They look forward to being part of the Jeff and Southern Indiana community very soon. And so we've got a number. There's some others as well, but those are the major sponsors that have stepped up to make our coverage, extra coverage this weekend, possible for you. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, really quick, a couple headlines to mention. Segment two, we'll get to Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. We'll talk IU. We'll talk more about some of the discussion points from the visit to Huber's by Archie Miller and the IU coaches tour on earlier this week. And then later in the program, Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star joins us. We'll catch up on some recruiting things. In-state recruiting, Trey Galloway's been on campus for IU, so that's a name of interest right now. We're getting into the month of June, which means high school summer leagues begin. And later this month, there are some open recruiting opportunities for college coaches that really have never existed before in the month of June. So we'll talk about that also. And if we have any time left, yesterday we played back some audio from Archie Miller's press conference at Huber's. We got, I don't know, maybe three-fourths of it in. Try to get what we felt like were some of the better, more interesting questions and answers on. Today, if we have any time at all, whether it's 5 minutes or more, we'll give you at least the opening from Archie Miller's speech to IU fans that gathered for another sold-out crowd at Huber's Orchard and Winery on Wednesday, for the IU coaches tour. Some people have said, hey, did you get that? We'd be interested in hearing that as well. So we're going to play some of that back if we have time today here on the Friday edition of our program. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You can get a dollar off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Okay, quickly, some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Recruiting for Indiana basketball, Zach Loveday, an in-state, really in-city, in Bloomington player, Anthony Leal, were on IU's campus earlier this week. In fact, yesterday, a pair for what was an unofficial visit for both of those two. So in this off time and dead time with a lot of the players out of town, IU still keeping busy with recruiting, getting some players on as well. And a couple other notes, walk-on for Indiana, according to a report out there, a former player named Cooper Bybee, who played high school basketball in Indiana and then went on to play at Olney Central, will be a walk-on at Indiana. This has not been confirmed by Indiana, but a reporter with the Herald Times in Bloomington, John Blau, he tweeted this out after talking to a coach yesterday, the high school coach, and according to him, that is the report that, again, a walk-on addition will be another player that will practice and work out and be there for the team, and who knows if they'll receive any playing time in the game or not. That really varies from walk-on situation to walk-on situation, but Cooper Bybee, that's B-Y-B-E-E, another name you can expect to be added or see soon on the IU roster when it is updated for next season. A couple other real quick things. Juwan Howard press conference was yesterday. Really good stuff. I only got to see the very beginning of it, maybe 3 or 4 minutes in, and he starts off looking just absolutely overwhelmed and I won't say fully crying, but definitely had the sniffles and said he wasn't going to cry, but he just that excited and it means that much to him. You could tell it was just like true emotion. It wasn't a put on, obviously. You could tell he was just, and he wasn't, you know, overwhelmed to the fact where you think, oh my gosh, this guy is entering a position where he's, you know, just not capable or, you know, can't handle this situation. It was almost the perfect type deal. You could tell that this really, really means a lot to him
Really cool stuff. No matter if you are for Michigan, not for Michigan, IU fan, not an IU fan, glad he's coming into the Big Ten Conference, think he's going to be a real threat to Indiana, whatever. Really cool moment for him yesterday, and I'm excited about it. I'm curious to see how it works with the recruiting, and you know, was he able to come in with his big name and his stardom from his college years and the NBA experience and draw top recruits and continue the momentum that John Beilein had? And I think it's cool that a former player comes back to coach, and this, you know, something that a lot of you guys agree with, because I'd like to see an Indiana guy at IU, even if it's just an assistant coach, you know, on the staff currently. So interesting to see how it works out, and I'm happy for Juwan Howard. Also, NCAA March Madness, Andy Katz put out a power poll, top 36 teams for the 2019-20 season, now that there's a little clarity in college basketball with who's back and who's not. Lots of Big Ten teams listed, I think seven total. He had Michigan State at number one, Maryland at number 11, Purdue at number 16, Ohio State at 18, Illinois at 21, Wisconsin at 28, Penn State at 34, but in the top 36, no IU, but seven Big Ten teams get the nod in his rankings. Those are the headlines, the Hoosier headlines, as we start each day on the program with the top IU in Southern Indiana sports news. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. After this, this is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We are back, and Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, presented by Coffee Crossing, joins us for a chat on IU basketball. Highway 311 in Sellersburg is temporarily closed, but Coffee Crossing Sellersburg is still open and brewing great coffee daily. Jared, curious to start with your thoughts on Archie Miller's press conference and or speech to IU fans at Huber's right here in Southern Indiana earlier this week. He had a number of, I thought, key things in his message, both to the media and the fans in the larger dining area room. And everybody seems to kind of pick out something that sticks with them that he said. What was the tidbit, the nugget, the news, the quote that stuck with you the most coming out of that event here in Southern Indiana?
Yeah, you know, we don't get to hear from Archie very often.
That's right.
It's always interesting in the offseason when we do get to hear from him. You know, the thing that really stuck out to me were you know, the comments about Jerome Hunter. I think we're all waiting to kind of hear what Jerome's status is going to be. And, you know, really Archie's comments were kind of more of the same of what we've been hearing, you know, where he's been working out, you know, but hasn't been cleared yet, and really doesn't sound like we're close to getting a, you know, determination one way or the other, you know, if he'll be ready to play the season. So, you know, I was certainly interested to hear that and kind of wish that it had been more definitive on the positive side, that we're just going to have to keep waiting, you know, and hoping for good news there. And then, you know, I thought hearing him talk about the scholarship situation and going into the season with 11, and, you know, obviously they tried to fill the other scholarships. I mean, you know, Keon Brooks, Lester Quinones, Anthony Harris, all those guys, they would have loved to, you know, have had one or two more impact players to come in and play, but they weren't going to just fill it with anybody. You know, and I like that. You know, I would have preferred, again, to get one of those guys and maybe have 12 guys and feel a little bit better about the depth, especially considering the injuries that we had last season. But if you weren't going to be able to get one of those guys, and if another one of those guys doesn't become available in the next couple of months, then I can certainly see the benefit of, you know, having a little bit of a shorter bench, I suppose, to where it's a little bit easier to keep everybody happy and have everybody know their roles. And then, as Archie talked about, you know, really be able to be flexible if a transfer does come around. So it's not the ideal situation, but I think there are some ways that you can take advantage of it if, you know, to kind of go into it with that mindset, which it sounds like, you know, Archie is. So it was interesting to hear him, you know, kind of talk about that. And I just think it's important for folks to remember that, you know, going into it with, you know, going into next season with two open scholarships was not necessarily the idea. That wasn't the goal coming into this offseason, but it's where we are. And, you know, there might be a way to take advantage of it depending on what circumstances come up.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. This segment each Friday is presented by Coffee Crossing. One of the things that, and I didn't mention this yesterday, but the more I thought about it, I went back last night and listened to some of the press conference and then his full speech in the dining room area to the sold-out crowd. One of the things that I was most interested to hear was him talk not just about Trace Jackson Davis, and we've spent a lot of time talking about him. He's the Mr. Basketball in Indiana. He's such a key player. But hearing Archie and what he had to say also about Armon Franklin, and then knowing that the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Games are coming up just around the corner, I'm excited to see Armon Franklin play even more in person, up close and personal, because he truly, from stat lines to performances to every facet of his game, from what I can tell, and Archie Miller agrees and has said this himself, he has really taken some steps forward in the last 18 months before his senior year, that summer to work before going into his senior year, and then, of course, big improvements as he led his high school team in ways that were much more than maybe we thought he would. I think a lot of people said, hey, great to get another in-state player. You know, he's obviously being recruited by Purdue and other high-major schools, so it's a good get, but they weren't really sure what level he could contribute right away, if any. And maybe even down the road what level he would be able to contribute. But he seems to have really changed that narrative. Archie Miller even spoke on that a little bit, which I thought was very encouraging when you think about new guys entering the program for the 2019-2020 season.
Yeah, it's been interesting to see, you know, how, I guess, the general feelings of the IU fan base about Armon have changed since he committed. Not, you know, and you kind of alluded to this, not that everybody wasn't excited when he committed, you know, because then, you know, we knew he was going to be a solid player and he's an in-state guy. But ever since then, you know, his play has improved. He's improved his three-point shot, has really shown that all-around game. You know, he's done some interviews and really proven himself to be an articulate and thoughtful and you know, just the kind of guy that you love to have, you know, representing the university. You know, similar to, you know, kind of how we talked about Juwan Morgan, you know, when he was coming in. Sorry.
No,
and you heard some interviews with him, you know, before he got on campus. And so I think there's a lot of excitement about Armon. And, you know, I think the other thing is, I mean, he's going to play and he's going to have to play and he's going to have to contribute because, you know, this is, I think the guard rotation can be a strength of this team, especially defensively. And I think if, you know, if Devontae's shooting and Al's shooting come around and, you know, Rob is obviously, you know, fully recovered and feeling good, you know, I think offensively they can be pretty good too. But, you know, there's a chance that you play a three-guard lineup with those three guys because they're, you know, probably three of your best and most experienced players. And then your only other ball handler is Armon Franklin. So, I mean, there's not going to be a whole lot of time for him to, you know, make the adjustment like some freshmen get to make. I mean, he's really going to have to come in and contribute. And I think, you know, that's one of the reasons why Indiana fans are excited about him is he seems to have the mentality and the maturity and just the kind of all-around breadth of skills to where you have some confidence that, hey, you know, most freshmen struggle, you know, with the adjustment. A guy like Demezi Anderson struggled a bit with the adjustment. You know, maybe Armon can be a guy who's a little bit more ready from day one, you know, to not come in and be a superstar, but a guy that can come in and contribute and give you 10 to 15 minutes where you know what you're going to get from him. You know, just be a solid member of that backcourt rotation.
Jared Morris, Assembly Call. Again, this segment presented by Coffee Crossing. Jared, I know you've got to run today, but quickly before we let you go, I know you're IU all the way around. We talk a lot of basketball, but you follow football, you follow baseball, you follow all the happenings in Bloomington. What's your feel on the regional later today with IU and Illinois State and a potential Indiana-Louisville matchup looming, which could be a lot of fun tomorrow?
Man, this has been awesome to see the growth of the baseball program, you know, and I mean, you know, when I was growing up in Bloomington, even going to school, you know, baseball wasn't, you know, not that it wasn't that popular, but it just, you know, wasn't something where you felt like you were competing for championships. And you know, now, I mean, over the last decade, Indiana baseball has really become a force. And so, you know, I don't know much about those other teams, so I can't really give you a scouting report. But it's nice to, you know that Indiana is going to be in this and to have confidence in it and to see what Jeff Mercer has been able to do. So, you know, we joked on the show, like, hey, you know, all the sports are really seem to be humming, and there's a lot of good things going on with Indiana Athletics. We can just get these stubborn basketball and football programs going. The athletic department will really be humming. So, hopefully the baseball team can keep it going and, make a deep run in the tournament.
Jared Morris with the Assembly Call. You can find out more at assemblycall.com. Jared, as always, we appreciate the time. Have a great day, and we'll talk with you again next Friday.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you, Matt.
And again, our segment with Jared is presented by Coffee Crossing. Now that the weather has changed, it's getting warmed up outside. Don't forget, you can also get all your favorite Coffee Crossing drinks blended or over ice. And I know there's a portion of 311 that is closed, but Coffee Crossing Sellersburg is still open, so you can find your way there. Their newest location in southern Indiana, a great place for you to stop by. NBA Finals last night, Toronto with a big win in game one of that. And apparently we had been saying that the Raptors were optimistic. OG Anunoby at some point could return during the finals. Former IU player, had a great season till he was injured, out, illness, sick, whatever you want to call it, with Toronto. But I saw a little video last night, a quick clip of him working out that someone shot before the game. So he was listed last night, I understand, on the official roster also as questionable, which he had not been before that. So interesting to see, really interesting, as I've said, to see Toronto in the NBA Finals. It's not a team that you expect to be there, although they've had a great team and I think really are a truly worthy team. When you start to see all the weapons and tools that they have, it's kind of easy to see how they've got here. But it will be interesting to see if they can give the Warriors a challenge. I could see that series going for a number of games, especially with Toronto winning game one. That changes the narrative, I think, a little bit. But I really hope that OG is able to work in some time. That's got to be a tough call for any coach at any level, especially if you're getting to the NBA Finals. It means you're winning and you're having big success. And even though OG was a big part of that success earlier in the year, do you put him back in now? Do you risk the chance of screwing something up from that side of things? Much like Kevin Durant, I think he's missed six games in a row now for Golden State. He's getting back closer and closer to being back ready to play again, but do you put him back in with the team still playing well? And maybe if they lose a couple to Toronto, that makes the answer a lot easier for Steve Kerr. But I think this is going to be an interesting NBA Finals. I don't pay a lot of attention until they get to the conference finals. So the last week and a half or so, I have watched a little bit. But I'm really interested in this Toronto team and really interested in this series. I just have a feeling that it could be a great series that goes a number of games. Maybe seven games. We'll see. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk some recruiting. We'll talk Trey Galloway, who was on IU's campus earlier this week. We'll talk summer basketball and a lot more coming up next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Welcome in. Friday edition of the program, High School Baseball Regional Action on Saturday. Lee Kelly and I will be in Evansville following Silver Creek and Jeffersonville, and our coverage Saturday will begin right here at 11:45 on the Big X Sports Radio. Kyle, I assume, covering high school sports for the Star, that you will be out at a baseball regional somewhere in the state tomorrow, and it gets to the point where you've got really good teams, and if you break down a lot of the teams, a lot of really good players that are committed to big baseball schools and Division I schools for college baseball as well, and the high school baseball season in its final weeks, but should be some terrific games the rest of the way.
Yeah, I know you're at Martinsville down there where you're at. It sounds like you'll be at Evansville on Saturday, and they're making a trip down there from our area. But I had a chance to see Decatur Central earlier this week, and sort of an interesting situation there where they played against the coach, Phil Webster, who's 77 years old now, and he's in his first year over at Southport now. And, you know, Decatur Central's got their field. Their baseball complex is actually named after Phil Webster, and he left, you know, about 8 years ago. And he's kind of bounced around with some different assistant coaching jobs and you know, got his first shot at being a head coach over there. Actually, coached at North Putnam for a couple of years as a head coach, but back in the area. And so interesting situation there to see Decatur Central knock them off. And I know Phil has mixed emotions, obviously. Glad to see his former player for him and assistant coach Jason Combs coaches that Decatur Central team now. So, you know, a lot of backstory there, and was kind of fun to see how that played out. Decatur Central, their first, it's a tradition-rich program around here, but they haven't won a sectional in 4 years, I think. So, you know, a school that's won a state championship before and been really successful, and they'll be hosting the regional over there at Decatur on I guess tomorrow now. So should be interesting, you know, good field over there. Actually, our area this year is probably not maybe as deep this year as far as 4A teams go, but and you had Center Grove, who was ranked really high in 4A, got knocked out early by Whiteland. So kind of an interesting year, more balanced maybe than usual around here in baseball, and hard to believe we're already getting into the regional round, and it'll be wrapping up here in a couple weeks already.
Kyle Nedrip, the Indianapolis Star, with us on a Friday program. I know that we have talked a lot as we switched to basketball here for a few minutes. I know we've talked a lot about Indiana's in-state players in the next senior class, guys that are either just finishing their junior years of school or maybe some already have. Based on what Archie Miller said the other night at the Hubers event about these two scholarships IU has open, that they're going to potentially hold them unless there's a real impactful player that they can add for this current 2019 class, it's likely that IU's going to have extra scholarships to spend, so to say, with the next class, the 2020 class. And I know that IU's been affiliated, has watched, has targeted. There have been visits from players, not just from in Indiana, but a good presence in Indiana, but also from the Midwest and even players outside of that Midwest footprint as well. So I guess right now you have to believe that Indiana's 2020 class could be big and perhaps very important for the future of this program. So to kind of go back and revisit some of our prior discussions with players in that class, I think you have to start with Trey Galloway, who was on campus for an official visit earlier this week. It started Monday afternoon, and from what I understand, that visit wrapped up on sometime Wednesday midday or so. But he really seems like a player that IU has honed in on, and as Archie looks to continue his in-state momentum, following up some really big lands in 2018 and 2019, Galloway appears to be somebody that could be at the top of the list for IU.
Absolutely, and actually funny you mentioned that, because I just talked to Galloway yesterday in person, and, you know, as he gets into his junior All-Star week next week, I just wanted to catch up with him, and he, you know, obviously we talked a lot about IU, and I haven't posted that story yet, but will soon. But he kind of talked about, you know, he was very impressed by the visit. And it's pretty rare where you hear a kid say they're not impressed by a visit, but sometimes, you know, interviewing these kids so many years, you can kind of read between the lines. And I think there is a significant interest there. Obviously, he got offered not too long ago. Might have been the same day as Anthony Leal, right around the same time Leal was offered by IU. So, you know, I know that both those guys, you know, and the fact you mentioned the scholarships are leaving open, and I know some people are, you know, freaking out about that a little bit. I don't think it's that, you know, I don't think it's a negative necessarily. If you can't find the right kids, they're probably going to end up transferring out anyway. So why not hold on to those? If you got a wider pool of guys in that 2020 class, I think it's a good move to maybe wait and see what you've got coming. And, you know, we've talked about, you know, Galloway a lot, and he's got some other interest from you know, Notre Dame, just right up the road there from Culver. He's been there many times, has an offer from there, Michigan State, Butler. So he's got some other options on the table, but I think getting down there this week for that official visit was a good thing for him to kind of see what IU's about. I know they came away very impressed, you know, with the coaching staff there and with Archie Miller in particular. So I think it only was a good thing for him and for IU as far as Galloway goes. And, you know, we've kind of seen him progress as a player. He was his shooting was one of a concern this year, but he also was playing through a wrist injury that you know, bugged him for probably about 6-7 weeks of the season. Only got healthy there right at the end of the season, high school season, and he's come on strong again in the spring and played really well for Indiana Elite, and I think impressed a lot of people. He's getting a little bit more interest now from what I would say are more national schools, non-Indiana schools. So, you know, we'll see if more offers come his way, but I have a feeling he seems to me like a Big Ten type of player. I know Cal Berkeley's coming in and talking to him some, and who knows, Georgetown is a little bit too now, but he's always seemed to me like a kid who's not going to go too far away, and you know, whether that's in state or not, I don't know, but he's got some good options there, and he's a kid who's from Indianapolis originally. He's been up at Culver there for several years now, but I'm really interested to see. I think he's a good two-way player, really good defensive player as well. So I think he can fit in a college program pretty well from his all-around game. He's maybe known as a shooter, but I don't think that's really an accurate portrayal of what he brings to the table.
Kyle Nedenrip with the Indianapolis Star, always with us Fridays. You had a really interesting photo gallery / feature that I thought was tremendous. I've not worked my way through the entire thing just yet, but we always talk, and you write about it, I talk about it, everybody does, rankings. You know, this kid was rated this in the state or in the country, and this kid's a 5-star and this kid's a 4-star. It's interesting, and then often they get to college, they enter their freshman year, and you never really look back at what they were supposed to do or what their final ranking was for whatever that's worth. But you did. You took a look back at 20 years of Indiana's top in-state basketball recruits to kind of look back, I guess you could call it retroactively, to see how were some of those lofty expectations for some of the great players in the high school game that had come through our state. This is available at IndyStar.com/sports. But what was your overall take on that? Did a lot of these players stand the test of time that college basketball and even beyond presented to them, or were there some flops that maybe didn't materialize as you would think based on what their standing was in high school and in the recruiting rankings and the prep game?
Yeah, I would, thanks for mentioning that. That was not a huge project to put together, but I thought really interesting. And you know, I think that, you know, when you go back and look through there's probably more right than we're wrong. I think probably 12 or 13, maybe 13 were the top recruit in the state turned out to be what I would say would be the best basketball player, but had the best, you know, college/pro career. Not all of those guys made, you know, for example, Jason Gardner from North Central. You know, he didn't play in the NBA, but he had his jersey retired by Arizona. He was a MVP in the German league, and he definitely turned out to be the best kid in that class. And this is different. I know some people were like, "Well, how can you base Mr. Basketball retro?" And it wasn't that. It was basically taking the top ranked Rivals recruit in the state and seeing, because that's what they do. They try to project, you know, who's going to be the best basketball player, who's going to have the best college/pro career moving forward. And you know, I think for the most part they did get it right. And you know, I think, like I said, I think 13 of the 20, there were some flops. There were some guys like, you know, Rodney Carney, who played at Northwest, who, you know, wasn't really, you know, highly recruited at all. He was an Indian All-Star, but not, you know, he went to Western Kentucky. He was in Sean May's class, and I would say, you know, probably even as far as their pro career goes, and they both had really good college careers. So, you know, I thought it was fun to go back and look, and you know, I'd encourage people, if they're interested in that, to take a look at it just for fun. It was something that's not super hard to put together. I actually stole that idea from the Chicago Sun-Times, did something similar, and I was really interested in what they had to write about their guys. So I was like, oh, it'd be kind of fun to do with our guys in Indiana. So it was kind of a fun look back, and definitely, you know, guys like Gordon Hayward too, who just comes off the top of my head. He wasn't highly recruited at all, you know, and obviously we know what he accomplished. So, and then, you know, guys like Greg Oden, who was the top recruit. I think he would have been the best in that class, if not for injuries. And, you know, it turns out his high school teammate, Mike Conley, you know, is the guy who's had the long NBA career, and overall has turned out to be the best player, in part because Odin got hurt and couldn't really ever have a chance to prove himself. So, but yeah, it was a lot of fun. I enjoy doing stuff like that and, bringing a little bit different perspective. And it's a fun, if nothing else, it's a fun photo gallery to go back and look at all those guys.
Absolutely. Kyle Dedrip, Indianapolis Star. We'll close with this today, Kyle. I know you're a baseball guy. Heck, I've seen you. We've been broadcasting some of the Little League games, the state tournament, state championship games. You've been with your son's team helping and doing the scorebook and whatever it takes to get the job done. So I know you like the game and want to be around the game and cover the game as well. College baseball in the postseason, I'm guilty of not following it real close. I keep an eye on IU, obviously. I keep an eye on Louisville because they've been successful at a high level and have a number of local players that over the years that have went across to play at Jim Patterson Stadium. But I really enjoy flipping on. It doesn't matter the matchups. Kind of like the Little League World Series. Really don't care who it is, but really enjoy watching college postseason baseball. The regionals are fun. The super regionals are even more fun. And the College World Series, I think, is unbelievable. It would be on my list of, I don't know, four, five, six sporting events that I've never been to that I would like to go to in my lifetime. I've heard reports, good reports, some others that have been there. But do you catch yourself watching a little more college baseball? Do you like it? Do you kind of have an affinity for it like I think a lot of people do this time of year?
Oh, absolutely. I don't watch hardly any during the season. It's not that I don't follow it. I do, but if it's on, I'll watch it. If nothing else is on, I'm kind of immersed in the NBA playoffs right now, going into the finals and everything. But college baseball, once the tournament, the NCAA tournament starts and those games are on, I don't know what it is about it, the setup of it or what, but I love watching, Coastal Carolina a couple of years ago when they made their run, or whoever these teams, it's fun when like a 4 seed beats a 1 seed and then, the pressure's on the 1 seed to try to get through and the big host school and whatever. But I went to a lot of College World Series growing up at the old Rosenblatt Stadium. In 2003, I was covering Missouri State, and they made it to the College World Series, my alma mater, and I got a chance to go up there and cover it. And they were 2 and out, but they lost 2 close games, but absolute blast to cover and just to be there. And I'm hoping, at some point to take my kids back there and watch it and be there again. But yeah, absolutely love the tournament, the Super Regional, and the College World Series is kind of a tradition that is unlike a lot of college sporting events. And, anytime the LSU fans are there, they're all outside cooking their Cajun food. And it's a great, great atmosphere. And I would encourage, if you ever have a chance to go there, I definitely encourage you to do so, at least for a couple days. It's a one-of-a-kind event, and you're guaranteed no matter who wins or whatever, it's a good time for sure.
Absolutely. Kyle Dedrip, the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, have a great weekend. Enjoy some baseball, and we'll talk again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Matt.
All right, Kyle Dedrip with the Indy Star, always with us, at Kyle Dedrip on Twitter if you want to read some of his great work coming out of the Indianapolis area, but he follows recruiting and basketball across the entire state. We'll head to a commercial break. Just a reminder, we have high school baseball tomorrow. We have IU baseball today. It's a busy, busy time here on the Big X with lots of local play-by-play, some special sponsors making things happen for us this weekend with all the additional coverage that we're bringing you. So make sure you pay attention to some of those reads and ads and tell them thanks and support those businesses, because all of our traveling and play-by-play and production and crews and everything else, including IU baseball, could not be made possible without some special sponsors that are joining us in the cause this weekend, in addition to all the regular sponsors you hear every day on this program and every day on this station that make everything here at the Big X possible. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with a final segment. We're going to play back some audio from Archie Miller's. This is his speech to the fans, to the crowd, to the alumni. We had the press conference yesterday, and today we'll have some of the audio from what he had to say to fans and alumni at the actual event once he left the press conference and went into the main room, which was sold out at Huber's on Wednesday night. That comes your way next as we wrap things up in the next segment and close out the week right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back final segment. We're going to have some audio here in just a moment. Archie Miller speaking to the crowd at Huber's. This is really from the top what he had to say to fans and alumni and everyone that was gathered for another big crowd. It's On the Road with IU Coaches is the official name of it, and it's kind of a beneficiary event for the IU Varsity Club and the IU Foundation as well. Les Wright is the local guy. By the way, he was decked out in all IU gear. It's kind of the host, I think you could call him, of this event that promotes it, that pulls it all together, that makes it happen. Former Floyd Central athletic director, even had an IU top hat on, if I remember correctly. So head to toe, he had on IU insignia and the cream and crimson as well. Here's Coach Miller from Huber's on Wednesday night with comments from the IU Varsity Club event.
Always good to be back here. Special venue, one night a year, to have this many people committed to coming out and spending time with us. And it's always fun to get back and talk a little bit about what's going on. And this is something that you remember for a long time as a coach, year after year, seeing some of these faces, getting to know the people in this room a little bit more makes it even more important to be here and really give what you guys want. And, you know, right now, we're in a really sort of the last couple days of what most people probably think is downtime. The season ends and your players start to go in different directions via graduation and changes. Your new players are now finishing high school or college nowadays, and they're moving in, and you're starting to formulate your plan on what you're going to do in the summer. And for us, we're right at that stage right now. You know, we had Juwan Morgan graduate, Evan Fitzner depart, Zach McRoberts finished his first year of grad school and obviously moved on, and obviously Romeo Langford finished his first season and declared for the draft. So we had four departures. All four guys did a phenomenal job in the spring. And Juwan obviously graduated in 4 years right on time. He probably had between 15 and 16 interviews with NBA teams over the last 45 and some days. And, you know, he's heading for his plan in June. And, he's going to be in good shape moving forward. He's an incredible kid. Evan will be playing professional basketball somewhere, waiting on his time. Zach actually just recently, I think he's getting ready to move to Fort Collins, Indiana, and start working for Lilly. So he's moving in that direction. And then Romeo's hanging out in California right now. He's getting ready for a big day, which is obviously the NBA draft. And, you know, anywhere you want to look and anywhere you want to talk, he's doing really well. He's coming off of a thumb surgery, which has really kind of impeded his workout process, but he's done really well. He's interviewed with 15, 16 teams, and we're excited and really hopeful that he'll become our 77th NBA draft pick in Indiana. Departures, obviously, you got to add. And we have three new guys coming. We're excited about all three. Trace Jackson Davis and Armand Franklin entered campus today. They started to get their physicals and started to get their stuff in order. You know, they're starting to become college basketball players here. So we're excited to get those two. And then Joey Brunk decided upon his graduation from Butler to choose to come and finish his last 2 years at Indiana, which we're really excited about. Adding Trace and adding Joey to what we have, really for the very first time, we have a Big Ten size inside. And Juwan really played predominantly a big role for us over the last couple of years, but in time, as it overwhelms you sometimes, especially the Big Ten, with the size of the bodies and the strength inside. So being able to get that depth at the true center spot with Duran and being able to play bigger is something that's exciting. And then, you know, our returning guys, you know, for the first time in a while, you know, we're not gonna have a ton of new people. And you know, we had six new bodies on campus last summer. trying to get them sped up. But those guys have all been here now for a year with Rob, Denise, Jerome, him coming back hopefully healthy this season. We're knocking on wood on that. So we have a good plan, and it's going to be a very important summer for these guys. There's got to be some development, and there's got to be chemistry like everything. But as you go through a season like we did, you learn a lot. You learn a lot about the people in your locker room. You learn a lot about your staff. It's not fun. And at the end of the day, anybody who thinks that you were frustrated or the angriest person in the world about Indiana basketball, the person standing before you is more pissed than anybody. So make sure we all understand that. He gets a stern talking to every morning in the mirror, so you don't have to worry about getting the message. But we're excited for our summer. We really are. About everybody on campus all June, July, and we'll finish in August. And we'll start the preparations, obviously, our upcoming season. And schedule's going to be good. Working on finishing it right now. The headliner games is we'll find out here maybe in July, early July, who our ACC opponent will be. Hopefully at home. We're not in the Gavitt games this year with the Big East. We do have Notre Dame and Bankers Life. We're in Madison Square Garden in the Jimmy B Classic versus UConn in early December. And we're still working on our return with Arkansas, who will be coming back with a new coaching staff and a new team to Assembly. Those would be the four big ones right now. And that'll kind of pin us up as we try to build our schedule around the early Big Ten season, which I'm not sure who will draw on those first two in early December. But you know, adding those Big Ten games in early December has really challenged your non-conference. It makes it really, really important that your non-conference obviously builds around it, but it's a tough stretch from basically the Big Ten Challenge early late November all the way through finals when you finish with that Bankers Life game. Those are some really, really tough games. So Big Ten had an incredible year. Really, to be honest with you, an unmatched year in maybe the last 15 years with the amount of depth in the league and the returners. I think it'll be as good next year as well. And for us to be at our best against the Big Ten, we have to win at home. And I think that's one of the big things with this team this offseason is understanding how important it is to play in Assembly and hold their home court. And we should be at some level hopefully unstoppable in there. And that's the goal to do it. But this team has to have more of a concentration level while playing at home in the Big Ten. Because if you do that, you're going to be in a great situation to do what you want towards the end of the year. Right now it's recruiting.
And again, that's Archie Miller talking to the audience at the crowd on Wednesday night at Huber's. Just a small sampling. I think he spoke for about 16 minutes. That was maybe, 6 or 7 minutes for you here today as we wrap up the week on the Hoosier Report. Just a reminder before we get out of here at the top of the hour, coming up later today at 2 o'clock, IU baseball, IU and Illinois State, in the regional across the river at Jim Patterson Stadium. We'll have live pitch-by-pitch of all IU baseball regional games this weekend. And then tomorrow, high school baseball, 11:45, Lee Kelly at Silver Creek. Around 1 o'clock, I'll come on from the Jeffersonville game. We'll both be in Evansville following those teams throughout the day. Have a great weekend. Don't forget to tune us in over the weekend, and I'll be back with you Monday here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.